And distractions throughout our week, but even those things, they should be things that are pointing us to Christ. So right now, just commit with me. I think I have mine on complete silence. Commit with me to not let your phone or the things around you be a distraction. Commit with me to focus on Christ and His Word. We're in Galatians 5 today. If you have your copy of God's Word, I would love for you to flip over to Galatians 5. We're going to quickly move right into the text. So I'm going to give you a few seconds to flip there or click there. Galatians 5, verse 13. At Lakeview, we are in the habit of standing together for the reading of God's Word. Would you stand with me as we read Galatians 5? God's word says in verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." You can be seated. I want to give us a few seconds this morning to be quiet and to think about God's Word before we start trying to discuss it and break it down. So if you would, take about 60 seconds with me. If you need to, close your eyes. If you need to, have your Bible open, looking over these words. But really, think for 60 seconds and pray over God's Word. Galatians 5, 13 through 15. It may be a little awkward, but 60 seconds. Let's take some time and just think on God's Word. In a way, we're all deacons. In a way. Today is a special day because we are ordaining a deacon, and I'm very excited for that. But the word deacon means to minister or table servant. And isn't that what Christ has called us all to be? Aren't we all called to be servants of others? The men we appoint as deacons in our church are appointed because we believe they are setting the example well. I absolutely and definitively lift up to you the 7 men we have serving as deacons as examples of the servant lifestyle to which Christ has called us. I think back to being a young boy and watching my sports heroes playing ball. You know, Kerry Collins, Tim Biakabatuka, Larry Johnson, Muggsy Bogues, John Smoltz, Chipper Jones. Yeah, that's my childhood. The guys I looked up to. And I wanted to be a pro athlete. I was an aspiring amateur athlete as a 9-year-old. So I admired these skilled and mighty pro athletes. In the Christian life, it's in some ways appropriate to elevate deacons, not because of how skilled and mighty they are, but because of how low they make themselves. In the Christian life, we're taught that the greatest are the servants. Jesus said it in Matthew 23. We heard it a couple of weeks ago from Victor. "The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be what? Exalted." The deacons are men who are humbling themselves to serve. It's looked down on in our secular culture, the culture in which we are a subculture of. It is looked down upon to be a servant. But we should praise God by exalting those who serve. We should praise God by mimicking their servant attitude. We should praise God by having joy while we serve and making it easy for others to be joyful in serving. The context of Galatians 5, moving back to the text, thinking about why was Paul writing this letter to the Galatian church, and specifically, why was he writing chapter 5? The Galatian church had fallen into the trap of saying, the gospel is Jesus and, in this case, and circumcision. It's the law. And Paul is saying, guys, you had gotten it right. You had the real gospel. Why are you so quickly turning from it? Paul is taking them back and saying, that's not the gospel. It's a false gospel. Paul is teaching them that adding anything to Christ is actually putting yourself in bondage. But Christ has freed us, and he's freed us for a purpose. That purpose is at least in part joy in ministry. So from our text today, from verse 13, the first thing that I believe is appropriate to see from this text is that we get joy in ministry by fulfilling our call. We get joy in ministry by fulfilling our call. Look at verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. You were called to freedom. The first and primary task of a deacon is to follow Jesus. That's the first and primary task of every believer. You were called to freedom. The Galatians were in bondage to their tradition and their law, because that law was tradition, and Paul was saying, stop, you are free. Romans 6:18, again, different audience, same writer, says, you've been set free from the sin that binds you. You've been set free to live for Christ. Deacons, are you free? Church, are you free? It's appropriate to examine your life. Are there sins in your life that are tying you down? Is there Jesus and for you? For the Galatian church, there was. Let that not be true for us in our own personal lives or for our church. It's just Jesus. It's just living a transformed, surrendered life for Jesus. For deacons, specifically, 1 Timothy 3 tells us what that transformed life might look like. Deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery. Do you see, sorry, in verse 8, do you see how much of that is day-to-day stuff? I mean, that's just your daily living. That's not even a relationship to what's happening within the church walls. That's just who the community sees you as. Not double-tongued, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of their faith, verse 9, with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives, likewise, must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. You see a picture of who we are calling as deacons, but what's incredible about that picture is that there's nothing incredible about it. That's the Christian life. God is calling people who are following well after him to serve in their local church as deacons. Part of living transformed, part of surrendering to Christ is living transparent. Part of living transformed is living transparent. We don't expect you to be perfect. This church, deacons, does not expect you to be perfect. Honestly, we expect you to be imperfect. If we have good theology, biblical theology, we expect that. I hope you expect me to be imperfect. I hope you, congregation, expect us to know that you're imperfect. In church life, it's too often taboo to admit sin and seek help for sin patterns. I think it's appropriate on a day where we're ordaining a deacon to say that deacons, church, pastors, in the Bible, it's not taboo. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another. Not only is it not taboo, it's commanded. It's the norm. It's the goal. Don't let expectations of perfection and fears of letting others down keep you from holiness and the freedom God calls you to. We see this life in 1 Timothy 3, and sometimes we think we have to be all those things perfectly all the time, but we know we can never be perfect all the time. But the transformed life that Galatians 5 verse 1 shows us of, brothers, you were called to freedom. Can't you imagine this as a picture of a boy standing in a dark room, scared, miserable, hurting, and a good father standing in the light, looking into the darkness, calls to him and says, come into the light. And the father is calling him, bringing him into the light of joy and freedom. As Christians, this is our story, that our good father has pulled us out of darkness. As deacons, this is your example. And if you're with us today and you don't know Christ, you've never surrendered your life to Christ, this is what we desire. This is, as believers, this is what we desire. A life in the light. A life with Christ. And we desire that for you too. If you don't know Christ, it may be offensive that I'm standing here saying you are the little boy in the dark. No one wants to be told that's true of them. You might think that I'm arrogant, but it's not me. I'm not up here saying those things about you. God's word has made that true. God's word has said that about you. That if you were called to freedom, if we who believe in Christ were called to freedom, then before we were in Christ, we must have been not free. We must have been in darkness. We want to be offering you. We want you to know, if you do not know Christ, the beauty of the gospel, that we do have a Father standing in the light saying, come. We have a Father standing in the light who is reaching for us. He has done everything needed for our salvation. When we were sinners, Christ came for us. God is perfect, and we rebelled against him. And in our sin, even there, as we cursed God, he said, I love you still. I love you enough that I'll send my son for you. Jesus died a wretched death on that cross, not just because of the physical parts of it, but spiritually. And you understand spiritual hurt. You understand spiritual pain. Christ felt it all. He took it for you so that you could know him, that you could stand in the light with him, that you could have freedom. But he didn't stay dead. What a beautiful thing. Our God who came for us, died for us, and didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. That's a hope-bringing thing. Are you not hopeful because your God rose from the grave? He defeated death. And if he's not your God, you could give your life to a God who defeated the grave. He rose again so that someday you could rise too. So that death would not hold you in bondage. So that sin would not hold you in bondage. We're going to have a time later where we open this area around the stage for you to pray at. And a lot of times that's where we make the appeal that if you don't know Christ, come know him now. Don't wait. If you don't know Christ and you are looking for a Savior and you're looking in the wrong places, here is the right place. Jesus Christ who gives freedom. Don't wait for the end of the service. Tell him now. Surrender in this moment. Because we have joy in a transformed life. The followers of Christ have joy in a transformed life. And the men that we have ordained, and today the man we are ordaining, will have joy in ministry through that transformed life, through fulfilling the call to freedom that God has called him to, that God has called us to. Through the rest of these verses, I believe we see one overarching point, and that's that we can have joy in ministry through serving others, by serving others. We see, we'll just read the whole passage again. It starts with, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love," do what? "Through love, in love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Here, Paul understood that this church in Galatia was being torn down over a matter of the law. They were denying fellowship. They were telling people, you cannot be a Christian unless you have this part of the law. And Paul is reminding them, don't you know that the person who saved you told you that the whole law is fulfilled in loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind? And don't you know that the second commandment is like it? Love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law is fulfilled in that. You're getting caught up on this one thing in the law. This one thing. Circumcision. But I'm telling you, you're missing the whole thing. The whole thing is love your neighbor as yourself. That's the whole law. And instead of loving each other, you're hurting each other over this one thing. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We serve others by loving them. I think these three verses, we see two primary ways of serving others. The first one is loving them. Deacons, you are called to love. When we serve out of love, it brings joy to ministry. I was reading The Discipline of Grace by Jerry Bridges this week. If you haven't read it, it's a great book. And this is what he wrote in it. I was really glad that actually, this sermon got pushed back a week because I get to use this week. But it's so good. He's talking about 1 Corinthians 13. And he's connecting 1 Corinthians 13 to actions. Well, 1 Corinthians, you know, is the chapter on love. And so listen to this. Listen to how he talks about love. Deacons, listen to this. Church members, listen to this. It's so helpful. "I am patient with you because I love you and want to forgive you. I am kind to you because I love you and want to help you. I do not envy your possessions or your gifts because I love you and want you to have the best. I do not boast about my attainments because I love you and want to hear about yours. I am not proud because I love you and want to esteem you before myself. I'm not rude because I love you and care about your feelings. I'm not self-seeking because I love you and want to meet your needs. I'm not easily angered by you because I love you and want to overlook your offenses. I do not keep a record of your wrongs because I love you, and love covers a multitude of sins." Isn't that a helpful way to think through those verses? Christians, love like this. Deacons, set an example in serving others by loving like this. Can you imagine a culture that treats people like 1 Corinthians 13 demands of us? It would be world-changing. What kind of joy would you have in your life, in your ministry? One of the beauties of a church is that we get to develop our own culture. We are a subculture of Unionville, which is a subculture of Union County, which is a subculture. You understand what I'm getting at here. We are a subculture. We get to develop our own culture within our own confines, our own relationships. Let's develop this culture of 1 Corinthians 13. It's already there. It's already happening. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep building this. Let's keep perfecting that. When we love others the way Christ loved us, we are willing to labor and toil for their good, not our own. When we love others the way Christ loved us, we are willing to sacrifice and suffer for their happiness, not our own. And not only are we willing to sacrifice, suffer, labor, and toil, not only are we willing, we should be excited. We shouldn't begrudgingly serve out of love. If we are begrudgingly serving, I don't know that you can say that's out of love at all. A service out of love is a joyful, excited serving. A joy out of love is marked by an eagerness and an invitation to always be available to that service. That's ringing bells, right? Doesn't that ring some bells? Doesn't that happen here? And can't we think of places where that can happen more? Is it working in your own life that way? In your individual life, towards your wife, towards your husband, towards your kids? Deacons, part of the call in 1 Timothy is to manage your own house well. All of these things, the way that you serve your family is important. Why would we ask someone to serve the church in a better way than we ask them to serve their family? Wouldn't that be miserable? We should be asking men to serve their family well, and as you are serving your family, come serve the church in the same way, in a like way. Serving out of love is a beautiful, joy-bringing endeavor. Serving out of love changes mundane work into a treasure you desire. Serving out of love changes anger over having to spend your time on a chore into gratefulness over being able to meet a need. Serving out of love changes a grumbling heart into an encouraging word. Instead of, why can't you do this on your own? It's, I love you and I'm so grateful I can help you. What beauty, what joy in ministry, what a good thing. Deacons have a mighty call to serve because Christians have a mighty call to serve. Christians have a mighty call to serve because we have a glorious King that has served us better than we could ever deserve. And he did it with love. And so we do it with love. The second primary way, verses 14 and 15, teach us about having joy in ministry by serving one another is by serving them in building others up. The way that we have joy in serving is by building others up. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour, this is verse 15, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. This text tells us not to bite and devour each other. We understand this is not literal. Paul's really not worried about cannibalism in the Galatian church, which is nice. It's good that that's at least not a problem there. But in this metaphorical, physical term here, we do. We understand this. We've probably each been bitten. We've at least in some way been devoured by the people around us emotionally. Whether that's our family or our church or our coworkers or strangers, the lady who steals your parking spot at the grocery store, you understand this. If we do bite and devour each other as the church, we will consume ourselves. And this has a really strong connection with Romans 15. If you've got your Bibles, flip over to Romans 15. I'm going to read a few verses from right there. Romans 15, we're going to start in verse 1. It's interesting. Just keep your mind on those words, bite and devour and consume. Keep your mind on those as we read Romans 15, verse 1. Listen to this in verse 1. We who are strong, we who are spiritually strong, have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Instead of biting and devouring and consuming, Romans 15 teaches us to bear with failings, to please your neighbor, to build him up. What's the opposite of consumption? What's the opposite of consuming? It's building, right? I mean, instead of tearing something down, we're building. So here in Galatians 5, verse 15, Paul is warning, saying, do not consume, do not tear each other down. And we have almost an exact opposite in Romans 15. Build each other up. Build each other up for their joy, for their pleasure. Ultimately, that's for your pleasure. Or look at Ephesians 4:29, another strong connection. This is a familiar verse to many. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Instead of biting and devouring and consuming, Paul teaches not to corrupt, to give grace and to build up. It will give joy in ministry if we serve by building others up. Deacons, this is your call. Because, church, this is your call. This is my call. We should all have this call because, biblically, Paul is talking to the church, to the congregation, to build each other up. Doesn't the Bible know us too well? Isn't it sometimes scary to read God's word? God knows us. God gets us. God wrote his word for us, knowing who we are and what we need. He gets the way that we tend towards biting and gossiping and tearing down. So he instructs us over and over. I chose two passages that talk about building up. There are so many, and it's a theme in the New Testament, to build each other up, to not devour. Over and over, he instructs us to build up instead of tear down. So this is the call. Be faithful. Be faithful. Hear this word of God. Lakeview, let's be builders of people. Deacons, be builders. That's the call. That's the call to freedom. God has shown us a way to have joy in ministry. Let's follow him together. We have an opportunity this morning to ordain. And ordaining, in my mind, is building. What it is the church affirming that God has called this person to be an example in the church. That we are saying we recognize in this person the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 for the deacon. And we are lifting him up to say, yes, we want you to set that example. We want you to serve. Ordination is not like a special club in the church. It's not like a special order, but it is a recognition. It's a recognition of what God is doing in the life of his people. Right now, in an ordination service, this is a little unique from what we normally do. If you're a guest with us, it may be unique from what you've seen or maybe even expect in a church service, but we're actually going to call Bill and Teresa. Would y'all come up to the stage area? I'm going to get some help moving this stage around while you come up. I think. Great. As they come up, actually, any deacon who has ever been ordained, just wait there and they'll get you ready. Any deacon who has been ordained here or at another church, we'd love for you to come up as well. We're going to take some time in just a few seconds to pray over them. So if you would, I know the situation is a little awkward with the chaining here, but if you would, make your way around. We'd love for you to come to the stage area so that you can lay hands on and pray for them as well. As they make their way up your church, let me give you a charge in this ordination process. I want you to support Bill and Teresa Parson as Bill comes on to serve as a deacon at Lakeview. Love on him and his family. Thank him. Show him and his family hospitality. Build him and his family up. Do not tear him down. Don't tear his family down. Ask how you can serve and help him in his ministry. Pray for him and his family. Most of all, out of all these things, pray for him. Let him serve with humility and be open to him serving you. Let him serve you. I don't believe we do enough to show support and thanks for our deacons. We need to do more. And I've seen personally how difficult it is to serve as a deacon. You bear the burdens of the congregation when you serve as a deacon. It's a difficult thing. And I think it's neat that right now we have our ordained deacons. We're missing a few who are out of town right now or couldn't be here. But we've done this before, but I always want to take the occasion. Can we thank God for these men and the way that they've served? Would you join me in thanking God for them? We need to support the men that God has placed in this office, and we need to help them to have joy even as they bear the burden. So, Bill, let me give you a charge. Men will pray for him after I do. As a deacon, you are called to serve. Serve in love and humility. Serve by supporting and building others up. Serve by praying. Pray hard and often. Serve with joy. Let your service be marked by a deep and abiding joy in Christ. That's my charge to you. Be faithful. If you would, take a seat. And Teresa, if you would just stand by him. Church, what we're going to do right now is we're going to pray over Bill and thank God for what he has done. This is the ordination. There's nothing special about this. We're just praying for him and giving a charge. But we want you to pray as well. We want you to thank God for Bill and his family and ask that he would have a successful ministry serving as a deacon. Scott, would you mind praying for us in this? Scott is our current chairman of deacons, and we're thankful for Scott. And so what I want to do, as much as you can, men, if you want to, gather around, put a hand. Church, if you would, don't just listen, participate in prayer with us. Pray for Bill as well. Let's pray together.
Father God, we come to you today, Lord, just thanking you for the blessings that you continually shower us with. And we'd like to lift Bill and Teresa and their family up right now, Lord. We would ask that you would bless him in a mighty way, empower him, and give him the abilities and bring out his talents and gifts that you've already bestowed to him. Let him be a great servant to you and to this church and to the community. We ask all these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Awesome. We are thankful for Bill and your whole family. Men, if y'all want to, you can return to your seats. We will have a time of invitation coming up, and then we're going to ask Bill and Teresa to return to this area so that you can come welcome and tell them how you love them and how you plan to support them. Schedule a time for a dinner with them while you're down here. You might as well. Thank you, guys. I love ordinations because what it means is that the church is calling out men from among our ranks, men who are being discipled under our teaching and saying, we recognize that God has given you a special role. This is something that we should be doing often. I love this. Thank you for participating with me, with our deacons in this church. We're grateful. What I want to do right now is I want to pray for you. And while I pray, just know that we're going to sing a song, and you'll have a chance to come down here and pray if you need. You can pray with me. You can grab someone from the pew with you and pray. But afterwards, come down here and say congratulations to Bill and love on him. So would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for your love. We're grateful that you have given us an opportunity to have a true joy. And you've given us a way for that. God, and in your way, it takes hard work and it takes service. God, you could have done anything to give us joy. You could have made it easy, but we see that even in your example of Christ, it wasn't easy what Christ did. God, help us to be faithful. Help us to remember that even as you have given us work to do, it's not the work that saves us. God, it's your actions. It's what you've done that saves us. It's by grace. It's your unmerited favor that saves us through faith. God, and you give that good faith. I pray that as we enter this time of singing and reflection, that you would work in the hearts of those who know you to bring them closer. But God, if there's someone here who doesn't know you, that you would work in their heart to draw them to you. We love you so much. Pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. If you will, stand with us and let's sing together this morning.
Grateful for you. I hope you've been blessed in God's word this morning as we've studied just a few verses together, but rich verses that help us know what God wants from us and for us. I have one announcement. College students or college age students, If you are interested, we're going to have dinner and a Bible study at my house tonight. So if you don't know where my house is, I can give you my address. I think we're just doing spaghetti. We're keeping it simple. So come on, and that'll be 4:30 to 6 tonight. So we'll have dinner and study God's Word. So we're going to try to start doing that every Sunday night. So if you're a college student, know you'll have a place for food and Bible study on a Sunday night. Is there anything else that I'm not remembering announcement-wise?
Yeah, just one other thing. I think we were asked to mention, I know some of you are involved with the Fairview Fall Festival that's coming up. I think it's October 6th, if I've got my date correct, from 10 to 5 that day. And that's, if I'm not mistaken, it's at the park there. So please take advantage of that. That's going to be a great, fun day. All day, music groups, all kinds of things going on there. So
yeah, and that's, that's a great connection for what we want for the congregation. I mean, for us as pastors and deacons and as the congregation, is to be missional in the community. What a great way to be missional in the community. What better way than going into the community for a fall festival and meeting people and loving on them and introducing them to Christ. So, yeah. Cool.
That's all I have. So, if we can, let's have a word of prayer. I guess everything good. Yeah. And let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed.
Oh wait, Shannon, I forgot. Yeah. Bill and Teresa, will you come down? We talked about that several times. I'm sorry. Sorry, church. Yeah, come on down. Leslie, there's a certificate, I think, in the bottom of that. We have a certificate of ordination for you. And, you know, actually, why don't we leave it there and I'll give it. Oh, you know, why don't we go ahead and grab it? Thank you. Decisiveness right there. Thank you. So, anyway, as people are hugging you, you don't want to get bent up or anything. But come down. Just say how much you love Teresa and Bill. And, yeah, that'd be great. Okay.
Right. Let's have a word of prayer. Be sure to come down before you leave. Father, thank you for the day. What a good day it has been to be in your house, to be together. And what a great thing for us to be talking about and looking into your word, enjoying ministry and serving. And God, that's what you've called us to do. And so, Lord, I pray that this message will resonate in our hearts. And God, even throughout this week, that you'll give us opportunities that we can serve. And because, God, I truly believe your word teaches us that we find just the greatest joy in you when we serve. And so we thank you for that today, and we thank you for Bill and his willingness to come and to serve this church and this body. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to bless his life, bless his family life, and use him mightily, Lord, we ask. And so thank you for the day, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.